Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I demanded an open marriage, but my husband called his hot ex right in front of me, divorced me on the spot, and now I'm the one crying, begging for another chance. I'm Sienna, 31, pharmaceutical regulatory specialist. My husband Dimitri, 33, is an aviation safety inspector. We've been married 6 years, together 8. I'm writing this from my sister's couch because I can't stand being in what used to be our house. Let me paint you the picture of how I F-ked everything up. For the past year, maybe longer, I've been feeling restless. Dimitri works insane hours. When a plane goes down or there's a major incident, he's on the next flight out. Sometimes he's gone for weeks, crawling through wreckage, writing reports that determine if hundreds of people fly safely or not. Heavy SHT. When he's home, he's often buried in documentation, reviewing black box data, coordinating with international safety boards. Meanwhile, I work from home, reviewing clinical trial protocols, ensuring pharmaceutical companies don't KL people with their new substances. Sounds important, right? It is. But it's also mind-numbing. Hundreds of pages of data, alone in my home office, while my husband jets around the world doing what feels like real work. Enter Garrett. New hire at my company, 28, working out of our Boston office. We started collaborating on a major FDA submission 6 months ago. Video calls turned into late-night strategy sessions. He'd make jokes about my messy bun during morning meetings. Started texting me memes about regulatory nightmares. Nothing physical ever happened. He lives 3 states away, but the attention was intoxicating. You're brilliant, Sienna. How does your husband not worship the ground you walk on? If I had someone like you, I'd never leave the house. Stupid SHT that I should have shut down. But I didn't. I screenshotted his messages. Reread them when Dimitri was away. Started dressing up for our video calls. Bought new lingerie that Dimitri never saw because he'd come home exhausted from investigating another crash where families lost everything. Here's where my ego took over. I convinced myself our marriage needed spicing up. That we'd gotten too comfortable. That maybe if Dimitri saw other men wanting me, he'd remember what he had. Maybe if I pushed for an open marriage, he'd fight for me. Show some F-king emotion. Prove I mattered more than his job. I spent 3 weeks building up the courage. Researched open marriages. Read all the polyamory subreddits. Convinced myself this was evolved, mature, modern. We were sophisticated people. We could handle this. 3 nights ago, Dimitri came home from a 2-week investigation in Alaska. Small charter plane, KLD 6 people. He looked exhausted. I made his favorite dinner, lamb souvlaki, opened a bottle of the Assyrtiko wine we'd brought back from Santorini on our anniversary trip. Halfway through dinner, I went for it. Dimitri, I've been thinking. We're young, successful, confident. Don't you think we're past the whole traditional marriage thing? What if we open things up? Gave each other freedom to explore? It could bring us closer, make us appreciate what we have. I delivered it perfectly. Calm, sophisticated, like I was suggesting we try a new restaurant. He set down his fork. Studied my face for maybe 30 seconds, felt like an hour. Then he pulled out his phone. You sure about this, Sienna? I nodded, trying to look confident while my heart hammered. This was it. He was going to argue, fight for us, show some passion. Instead, he scrolled through his contacts and hit call. On speaker. The voice that answered made my blood freeze. Smooth, accented, amused. Dimitri? It's late there, no? Katya. His ex. The woman he'd dated for 4 years before me. Luxury yacht broker who split her time between Miami and Monaco. The one who'd left him to expand her business overseas but still texted him opportunities in the yachting world. The one I'd stalked on Instagram more times than I'd admit, with her perfect sauce and natural platinum hair and clients who own football teams. Katya, remember what we discussed when you were in Miami last month? My stomach dropped. When was she in Miami? He'd been in Miami last month for a conference. Of course. You finally ready to stop wasting time? I'll file tomorrow. You said Tuesday? I'll book tonight. First class, as promised. See you then. He hung up. Pulled a manila envelope from his messenger bag, the one he'd brought to dinner, which should have been my first red flag. Slid it across the table. Sign these when you're ready. I'm keeping things simple, you get the house, I'm taking my father's watches and the BMW. Clean split. I opened the envelope with shaking fingers. Divorce papers. Already filled out. Already notarized. Dated 2 weeks ago. What? What the F is this? It's what you wanted, Sienna. Freedom. Exploration. I'm giving it to you. This isn't what I meant. I meant together, as a couple, with rules and boundaries and... No. He stood up, perfectly calm. What you meant was you wanted to F Garrett while keeping me as your safety net. The room spun. How do you? Your laptop was open 3 weeks ago. Saw the messages. Saw the photos you sent him. The ones in the La Perla set I bought you for our anniversary. Oh F. The photos weren't ND, just suggestive. But F. Those weren't. I didn't actually do anything. I know. If you had, we'd be having a different conversation through lawyers. He grabbed his keys. But you want to. So go ahead. I'm done being someone's backup plan. Dimitri, wait, let's talk about this. He paused at the door. We just did. You proposed opening our marriage. I'm accepting. Except I'm opening it all the way. You're free, Sienna. Enjoy it. The door closed softly. No slam, no drama. Just. Done. I called him 17 times that night. Straight to voicemail. Texted probably 50 messages. Everything from please come home to you're overreacting to I'll block Garrett right now. The red receipts were off. But I know he saw them before he blocked me. The next morning, I woke up to an Instagram notification. Katya had posted a story. Miami Airport, first class lounge, champagne emoji. Tagged location, new beginnings. I threw my phone across the room. Then I did the stupidest thing possible. I drove to Dimitri's hotel. Found out which one from the credit card statement, he wasn't even trying to hide. Waited in the lobby for 3 hours until he walked in. With Katya. She looked better than her photos. Wearing jeans and a simple white t-shirt but somehow looked like a F King supermodel. Natural confidence that made my carefully planned outfit look desperate. They saw me. Dimitri's expression didn't change. Katya smiled, not cruel, just pitying. Sienna, Dimitri said, like we were colleagues passing in a hallway. Can we talk? Please. About what? Our marriage. What marriage? You wanted to explore options. I'm exploring mine. Katya touched his arm gently. I'll wait upstairs. She walked to the elevator, and I saw the key card in her hand. They were sharing a room. My husband was sharing a room with his ex while I stood there like a f-king idiot. This is insane, Dimitri. 6 years, and you're just walking away? You walked first, Sienna. You just expected me to stay where you left me. I made a mistake. No. A mistake is forgetting an anniversary. You made a choice. Multiple choices. For months. Every message to Garrett, every photo, every late night call you took in the bathroom thinking I was asleep. Those were all choices. You knew? I'm trained to investigate crashes, Sienna. To piece together what went wrong from small details. You think I didn't notice my wife suddenly shaving everything twice a week when I was traveling? Buying lingerie that stayed in the drawer when I was home? The way you'd smile at your phone then close it when I walked in? My face burned. Then why didn't you say anything? Because I wanted to see what you'd do. Whether you'd come to your senses or push it further. You pushed. So you called Katya? Your ex who dumped you? She didn't dump me. We ended things mutually because our careers were pulling us in different directions. But she never lied to me. Never made me feel like a safety net while she shopped for upgrades. That stung. I wasn't shopping for Garrett. 34 messages in one day while I was identifying body parts in Alaska. Yeah, I saw those too. You went through my phone? No. You left your message notifications on when you screen shared during our video call about the vacation plans. Remember? The one where you were too busy to look at hotels, so I planned everything?
F, I remembered.
I'd been messaging Garrett during the call, forgot I was sharing my screen. Dimitri had seen everything popping up. That was just friendly conversation? Can't wait to taste those lips? That's friendly? I had no response. That message had been from Garrett, and I hadn't shut it down. I'd sent back a blushing emoji. "I'm going upstairs now," Dimitri said. "The papers are straightforward. I suggest you sign them." "What about counseling? Therapy? Don't we owe our marriage that?" He actually laughed. Short, harsh. "We owed our marriage honesty. You spent yours on another man." He walked away. No backward glance, no hesitation. I stood in that lobby.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
For another hour, hoping he'd come back down. He didn't. That was 3 days ago. Since then, he's blocked me on everything. Changed his LinkedIn to single. Katya has posted 3 more photos from Miami, each one showing glimpses of Dimitri, his hand, his shoulder, his reflection in her sunglasses. My mother called asking why Dimitri told her to ask me about Garrett. My sister picked me up after I drank 2 bottles of wine alone. Garrett texted asking if I was okay because I hadn't responded to his messages. I haven't told Garrett that my husband left me because of him. What's the f-king point? The attention that felt so thrilling now feels pathetic. His messages look different now, desperate, juvenile, nothing like the man I married who just calmly detonated our life and walked into a better one. The worst part? Dimitri didn't yell. Didn't expose me to our friends. Didn't trash me on social media. He just left. Gave me exactly what I asked for. Freedom. Exploration. Options. Sitting here on my sister's couch, I've realized something. I didn't want an open marriage. I wanted Dimitri to fight for me. To prove I mattered more than his work. To show the passion I thought we'd lost. Instead, he showed me something worse, that he'd already fought for us, silently, for months, waiting for me to choose him. And when I didn't, he chose himself. I played myself. And he let me. Update 1, 3 days later. Holy F, the comments on my last post. Half of you called me exactly what I am, a narcissistic idiot who destroyed her own marriage. The other half told me Dimitri was just waiting for an excuse to get back with Katya. You're all right and wrong. Let me tell you what I've learned in the past 3 days, and why I'm now drinking wine at 2 p.m. on a workday. First, Garrett. After reading your brutal comments, I decided to tell him everything. Called him up, explained my marriage was over, and maybe we could explore what we'd been dancing around. His response? OSHT, Sienna. I'm so sorry. But like, I have a girlfriend. We've been together 2 years. The flirting was just fun, you know? I thought you knew it wasn't serious. I hung up. Then I threw up. Then I did something stupider. I went to the house, my house now, I guess, to get more clothes. Found Dimitri there, packing his office. Very methodical, labeling boxes, taking only what was his before we got married plus gifts from his family. We need to talk, I said. We don't, actually. He didn't even look up. How long have you been planning this? The divorce? Since I saw the messages. The reconciliation with Katya? That wasn't planned. BS. You don't just call your ex and have her fly in the next day unless something was already there. He finally looked at me. You want the truth? Fine. Katya reached out 6 months ago. Her company was expanding to the American market again, based in Miami. She wanted to know if there was any chance for us. I told her I was married. Happily, I thought. My chest tightened. And? She said if that ever changed, to let her know. That she'd made a mistake letting her career come before us. That she'd spent 4 years comparing every man to me and coming up short. So you kept her as backup? No, Sienna. I deleted the message. Showed it to my brother, asked if I should tell you. He said it would only cause problems if I had no intention of responding. So I didn't. Then what changed? You did. When I saw those messages with Garrett, I realized I was married to someone who kept backups. Who needed attention from random men to feel valuable. Who could look me in the eye every morning knowing she was emotionally cheating. It wasn't cheating. February 15th. I was in Seattle investigating the cargo plane crash. You sent him photos in lingerie. You told him you wished he was there. That's the night I called my lawyer. I remembered that night. Dimitri had been gone for a week. Garrett and I had been working late on a submission, and he'd made a joke about Valentine's Day being overrated. I'd had 3 glasses of wine and sent those photos to prove. What? That I was desirable? That someone wanted me? That was a mistake. March 3rd. You told him your husband didn't appreciate you. That you felt invisible in your own marriage. While I was identifying remains of someone's husband who would never come home. I was lonely. March 19th. You asked him what he'd do if you were single. I couldn't breathe. He documented everything. March 28th. You told your sister you were thinking about an affair. How do you know that? She told me. The next day, she asked me if everything was okay in our marriage because you seemed distracted by someone at work. I defended you. Told her you'd never do that. Oh God. My sister knew. She'd tried to warn him. April 10th. I came home early from Chicago. You were on a video call with him, laughing in a way you hadn't laughed with me in months. I watched from the hallway for 10 minutes. You never mentioned I was home early when we had dinner. Why didn't you confront me? Because I wanted to be wrong. I wanted to believe my wife was just going through something temporary. That she'd remember she had a husband who loved her. I did remember, April 25th. Miami conference. I ran into Katya at the hotel bar. She was there meeting clients. We talked for hours. About everything. Our past, my marriage, her regrets. She asked if I was happy. And? I couldn't say yes. That's when I knew it was over. When another woman asks if you're happy in your marriage and you can't immediately say yes, it's done. So you planned this whole thing? No. I planned to talk to you when I got back. Have an honest conversation about where we were. Then I came home, and you were giggling at your phone again. I asked who it was, and you said just work stuff. That lie, that casual dismissal, that's when I started documenting everything. For the divorce? For my sanity. To remind myself I wasn't crazy. That my wife was slipping away and lying about it. He sealed another box, wrote Dad's books on it in his precise handwriting. But you never fought for me, I said, desperate. You just watched me drift away. I fought for you every day I came home instead of staying in hotel bars. Every time I deleted women's numbers who made it clear they were interested. Every time Katya texted and I didn't respond. You didn't notice because you were fighting to get away. That's not. May 8th. Our anniversary. I booked reservations at that restaurant you'd been wanting to try for months. You canceled last minute. Said you had a deadline. You were online with Garrett until 1 a.m. I know because I checked the router logs. I remembered. I'd forgotten it was our anniversary until he mentioned the restaurant that morning. By then, I'd already promised Garrett we'd finish the submission. That wasn't intentional. May 15th. You suggested couples therapy. I agreed immediately. You never made the appointment. Said you were too busy. But you had time for 47 messages to Garrett that day. You were counting? No. The phone bill counts. I was just paying attention. He picked up another box, then set it down. Looked at me directly. You want to know when I really knew it was over? May 20th. I was in the hospital. What? No, you were. In Dallas, yes. Investigating a runway incursion. But I collapsed at the site. Exhaustion, dehydration. They kept me overnight for observation. I texted you I was at the hospital, nothing serious, but staying overnight. My blood went cold. I remembered that text. You responded with a thumbs up emoji. Then nothing for 18 hours. When I checked your Instagram, you'd posted a story from happy hour with colleagues. Garrett was in Boston for the quarterly meeting. You were at the same bar. Nothing happened. I know. The bartender is my cousin's husband. He told me you left alone. But you were there until midnight while your husband was in the hospital. You said it wasn't serious. And you didn't care enough to call and confirm that. I had no defense. I'd read his text, assumed he was being dramatic, and gone to the happy hour I'd been looking forward to for weeks. The one where Garrett would finally be in town. So when I proposed the open marriage, I was done pretending. Done being the only one fighting. You handed me the exit, and I took it. With Katya? Yes. Do you love her? I never stopped. I just loved you more, until you taught me how to stop. That broke something in me. I started sobbing, ugly, chest-heaving sobs. He didn't comfort me. didn't move closer. Just continued packing. Please, I begged. Please give us another chance. I'll do anything. Therapy, counseling, I'll quit my job, move wherever you want. Where was this energy when we were married? I was stupid. You were cruel. There's a difference. I never meant. May 29th. Last week. You told Garrett you were falling for him. That was just. June 1st. 3 days ago. You asked for an open marriage. He picked up the last box. June 2nd. Yesterday. Katya asked me if I could ever trust you again. I couldn't lie to her like you lied to me. The answer was no. He walked to the door, stopped without turning. Sign the papers, Sienna. I'm being more than fair. The house is worth more than everything else combined. You can start over without financial stress. Find someone who makes you feel whatever Garrett made you feel. Whatever I couldn't. You made me feel everything? Past tense. That's the problem. He left. I slid down the wall and sat on the floor for 2 hours. Then I did another stupid thing. I called Katya. She answered on the second ring. Hello, Sienna. You won. This wasn't a competition. Wasn't it? No. You competed with yourself and lost. I just happened to be there when Dimitri needed someone who actually saw him. I saw him. You saw what he could do for you. The stability, the status, the safety net while you played with fire. Did you ever ask him about the crashes he investigated? The families he had to face? The weight he carried? I wanted to say yes. But thinking back, when he came home from investigations, I'd give him space. Said he needed to decompress. Really, I just didn't want to deal with his heavy mood. He never wanted to talk about it. He talked to me about it. For 3 hours in Miami. Cried about the kids on the Alaska flight. 6 dead, he had to tell their parents what they found. You know what he said about you? What? Nothing. When I asked how you helped him process it, he changed the subject. That's when I knew. Knew what? That you weren't a wife. You were a roommate with benefits who liked the idea of being married to someone important. That's not. When's his father's birthday? What? His father. The man who gave him those watches he treasures. When's his birthday? I didn't know. What's his biggest fear? I didn't know. Where does he want to retire? I didn't know. What was his brother diagnosed with last year? I didn't. F, his brother was sick? That's what I thought, Katya said, not unkindly. You want some advice? From the woman who stole my husband? I didn't steal anything. You threw him away. But here's the advice, sign the papers. Move on. Learn from this. Maybe next time, when you have something real, you'll recognize it before you destroy it. She hung up. I've spent the last 2 days going through our photos, our messages, trying to find where it went wrong. But I keep coming back to the same truth. It went wrong when I decided I deserved more without ever asking what I was giving. My sister asked me yesterday if I actually loved Dimitri or if I just loved being married to him. I couldn't answer. Today I can. I loved being chosen by him. Being desired by him. Being married to someone accomplished and respected. But did I love him? The real him? The man who came home exhausted from dealing with tragedy? Who had nightmares about crashes? Who watched documentaries about aviation disasters to learn how to prevent them? Who apparently had a sick brother I knew nothing about? I don't think I ever knew him well enough to love him properly. And now Katya does. She's posted another photo, just hands holding coffee cups, but I recognize his father's ring on Dimitri's finger. The caption, Morning Conversations That Matter. 3,000 likes. Comments about how good they look together. How happy he seems. He never posted photos of us. But then again, I never gave him anything worth sharing, did I? Update 2, 2 weeks later. I signed the papers. Delivered them to his lawyer yesterday. Dimitri's already filed. No fault divorce, uncontested, should be final in 60 days. You want to know what broke me? Not the papers. Not seeing him with Katya. Not even losing my marriage. It was my mom. She called me last night. I expected sympathy, maybe some motherly comfort. Instead, I got truth. Sienna, I need to tell you something. Your father and I almost divorced when you were 15. What? No, you guys were perfect. We were good at pretending. He had an emotional affair with a colleague. Nothing physical, just like you. but I found out. What did you do? I fought. Not with her, not with dramatics. I fought by becoming the wife he needed. I asked him what was missing. I listened to the answer. It was hard to hear, that I'd become complacent, that I took him for granted, that I treated marriage like a checkbox instead of a living thing that needed daily care. So Dad, your father ended it immediately when confronted. Begged for counseling. Did the work. We did the work. Together. That's what you do when you want to save something. I want to save? No, Sienna. You want to undo consequences. There's a difference. Did you ever once ask Dimitri what he needed from you? I thought back. Searched my memory for a single time I'd asked him that question. Nothing. Your husband investigated plane crashes, baby. He saw the worst of humanity regularly. Did you ever ask him how that affected him? He didn't like to talk about work. Or you didn't like to listen. There's a difference. Mom. I met Katya yesterday. What? Where? She reached out. Wanted to return some things of yours that were at Dimitri's hotel. We met for coffee. And? She loves him, Sienna. The real him. Not the idea of him. She asked me about his childhood, his fears, his dreams. She knew about his brother's lymphoma, did you? I didn't know. She knew because she asked. She knew because when he talks, she listens. When he hurts, she notices. I could have, would have, should have. The saddest words in marriage. She was quiet for a moment. She also told me something else. Dimitri was planning to propose again. What? For your 7th anniversary. He bought a new ring. Was going to suggest renewing vows, starting fresh. He showed it to her in Miami, not to hurt you, but to explain why he was struggling to let go. I couldn't breathe. He returned it the day after you asked for an open marriage. I hung up. Threw up. Called in sick to work. Then I did what I always do, something stupid. I went to his work. His colleague, Raymond, someone I'd met at countless office parties, saw me in the lobby. Sienna? You can't be here. I need to see him. He's not here. He's in Monaco. Monaco? But he has the Peterson investigation. He transferred to the European Aviation Safety Agency. Permanent position. Left yesterday. He left the country? You didn't know? I laughed. Actually laughed. Because of course I didn't know. How long has he been planning this? Raymond looked uncomfortable. The position opened 6 months ago. He turned it down then. Said he couldn't leave his wife. But when they called again last week, he took it. In seconds. I drove home in a daze. The house felt like a mausoleum. Our wedding photos still on the walls. I'd wanted him to see them when he came to pack, hoping they'd trigger something. Instead, he'd worked around them like they were furniture. But then I noticed something. One photo was missing. The one from our honeymoon in Santorini, watching the sunset. His favorite. He'd taken it. I went to our bedroom. His closet was empty except for one thing, the tie I'd bought him for our first anniversary. The ugly one with little planes on it that he'd worn to every important meeting for 6 years. Left hanging there like a memorial. That's when I found the letter. In my jewelry box, under the necklace he'd given me for our 5th anniversary. Sienna. I loved you from the moment you spilled red wine on my shirt at Theo's wedding. You were mortified, trying to clean it with your cocktail napkin, making it worse. You were real then. Unfiltered. Present. I don't know when you started performing instead of living, but I watched it happen. Watched you curate our life instead of living it. Watched you need external validation more than internal peace. I'm not innocent. I worked too much. Brought darkness home from crash sites. Maybe if I'd shared more, you wouldn't have needed to search elsewhere for light. Or maybe you would have anyway. We'll never know. I'm leaving you the house because it was never mine anyway. You picked it, decorated it, made it yours. I just lived there. The BMW means more to me. I rebuilt that engine with my father before he died. You never knew that story. There are so many stories you never knew. I hope you find what you're looking for. I hope it's real when you do. I hope you recognize it before you destroy it. I loved you. Past tense, like you noted. But it was present tense for so much longer than you realized. I just got tired of being the only one conjugating in the present. Be well. D. I cried for 3 hours. Then I did another stupid thing. I messaged Garrett. My marriage is over. You played a part in that. His response, that's not my fault or my problem. Please don't contact me again. My girlfriend saw your last message. Blocked. So here I am. In a house worth $800,000 that feels like a prison. With a job I can barely focus on. With friends who are too busy to meet up because they don't know whose side to take. My dad called yesterday. You know what the difference is between you and your mother? What? When she was faced with losing me, she asked herself what she could change. When you were faced with losing Dimitri, you asked him to accept you as you were. Is that wrong? Shouldn't someone love you as you are? They should. But they shouldn't have to love you at your worst when you're choosing to be your worst. I wasn't choosing. Every message to Garrett was a choice. Every lie to Dimitri was a choice. Every time you picked your phone over your husband was a choice. So I'm just the villain? No. You're just someone who made selfish choices and expected selfless results. He hung up. Last night, I looked at Katja's Instagram again. She's private, but her profile photo updated. It's her and Dimitri at some aviation gala in Monaco. He's in a tuxedo, laughing at something off camera. He looks younger somehow. Lighter. He never looked like that in our photos from the last 2 years. My therapist asked me yesterday what I missed most. I said being married. She said, not Dimitri? I said, is there a difference? She said, that's your answer. Tomorrow I start packing. My sister found me a condo downtown. Smaller, but mine. Or it will be after the divorce settlement. Dimitri's lawyer sent an itemized list of what he took. Every single item tied to his father, his brother, or his life before me. Nothing from our life together except that sunset photo. At the bottom, a note, Mr. Costas wanted to ensure you knew he left the espresso machine. He knows you love it. I hate espresso. That was his thing. Every morning, 6 a.m., making his perfect shot before heading to work. I've been making one every morning since he left, trying to understand the appeal. It's bitter, intense, requires attention and precision. You can't multitask while making it. You have to be present. Maybe that was the point. Maybe that was always the point. Update 3, 1 month later. I got fired yesterday. Not laid off. Not downsized. Fired. Turns out when you spend 6 weeks f-king up pharmaceutical submissions because you're too busy stalking your ex-husband's new life, the FDA notices. My company noticed. Garrett, helpful as ever, documented every mistake I made as my mental state was affecting the team. The same Garrett who sent me 47 messages a day now threw me under the bus to save his own sauce. It's nothing personal, Sienna, my boss said. But you've been unfocused, sloppy. That Bristol-Myers submission had errors that could have cost us the contract. I've been going through a divorce. We were aware. HR offered you leave. You declined. I had. Because sitting at home in that house was worse than pretending to work. Garrett said you've been erratic. Sending inappropriate messages. Inappropriate? He's the one who... He showed us the messages, Sienna. From after your separation. Asking him to lie to your husband. Asking him to meet you. Threatening to tell his girlfriend about your emotional affair if he didn't respond. I had sent those. Desperate, pathetic messages after Dimitri left. Trying to make Garrett admit he'd pursued me, that I wasn't crazy, that there had been something real between us. That was taken out of context. The context doesn't matter. You created a hostile work environment. We're offering 3 months severance if you sign an NDA. Otherwise, we terminate for cause, and you get nothing. I signed. Walking out with my box of belongings, I passed Garrett in the hall. He wouldn't look at me. Coward, I said. Survivor, he responded, and kept walking. Got home to find a moving truck outside. For a second, my heart jumped, maybe Dimitri was coming back. Maybe he'd realized. It was Katya. She was loading boxes into the truck. His awards, his books, photos of his family. What are you doing here? Dimitri asked me to get the last of his things. He didn't want to make you uncomfortable. But sending you wouldn't? She set down a box. Looked at me with something like pity. Would you prefer he came himself? Yes. No. I didn't know. How is he? Happy. His new position is everything he wanted. Less field work, more prevention. He's saving lives without having to see the bodies. Good for him. He's teaching too. at the Aviation Academy. Young pilots love him. Each word was a knife. He'd mentioned wanting to teach once. I'd said it would be a waste of his talents. Are you living together?
Yes.
Already? We lived together for 3 years before. We know it works.
Must be nice. Starting over so easily.
She studied me for a moment. Can I tell you something?
Why not? Everyone else has.
It's not easy for him. He loved you. Really loved you. The first night in Monaco, he got drunk and cried for hours. Showed me photos of you two from the beginning. Told me stories I'd never heard. How you used to leave post-it notes in his flight bags. How you learned to make his grandmother's moussaka. How you stayed up all night with him after the Malaysia Airlines investigation. I'd forgotten about that. He'd been part of the team analyzing MH370 data. Came home destroyed. I held him all night while he talked about families who'd never have closure.
That was years ago.
Exactly. He couldn't remember the last time you'd done something like that.
I got busy.
You got selfish. There's a difference.
Says the woman F. King my husband.
Ex-husband, almost.
And yes, I'm F. King him. But I'm also loving him. Listening to him. Supporting his dreams instead of seeing them as competition for his attention.
I never. He showed me your text from when he got the Monaco offer 6 months ago.
Oh God. I'd forgotten.
You told him it was selfish to consider uprooting your life for his career.
It was a discussion.
No. A discussion would have been weighing pros and cons. You gave an ultimatum. Stay or lose you.
And he stayed.
And lost you anyway.
She picked up another box.
You want to know the sad part? He would have stayed forever. Would have turned down every opportunity, every dream, to keep you happy. But you couldn't even turn down a text conversation with a coworker to keep him.
It's not that simple.
It's exactly that simple.
My mother arrived then. Took one look at the scene and sighed.
Katya. Sienna, go inside.
This is my house.
Go.
Inside.
I went.
Watched from the window as my mother helped Katya load boxes. They talked for 20 minutes. Even laughed at one point.
My own mother, laughing with my replacement.
When Katya drove away, Mom came inside.
She's good for him.
Mom, what?
You want me to lie? Say she's awful?
She's not.
She's actually what you could have been if you'd pulled your head out of your sauce.
Whose side are you on?
The side of truth.
You f ked up, Sienna.
Spectacularly.
And instead of learning from it, you're spiraling.
I lost everything.
You threw everything away.
There's a difference.
Why does everyone keep saying that?
Because it's true.
Dimitri didn't leave you.
You pushed him out.
He didn't choose Katya over you.
You chose attention from strangers over him.
I made mistakes.
You made choices.
For months.
Daily choices to prioritize someone else over your marriage.
So I'm irredeemable?
No.
You're just facing consequences.
What you do next determines if you're redeemable.
What am I supposed to do?
I lost my husband, my job.
Your husband?
You hadn't had a real conversation with him in a year.
Your job?
You were phoning it in for months.
You lost things you'd already abandoned.
That's harsh.
That's honest.
You want harsh?
Your father and I are embarrassed.
Our friends ask about you and we don't know what to say.
Our daughter had a good man and threw him away for Instagram messages from a nobody?
Mom, please.
I'm not done.
Your sister doesn't want you staying with her anymore.
Says you're toxic, spending all day drinking and cyberstalking Dimitri.
I'm not stalking.
You created a fake Instagram to watch Katya's stories.
She knows, by the way.
She hasn't blocked you because Dimitri asked her to let you watch if it helps you move on.
F, of course she knew.
What do you want me to say, Mom? That I'm a failure? That I destroyed the best thing in my life? That I'm a narcissistic BCH who deserves to be alone?
I want you to say you're ready to change.
To get help.
To stop being the victim in a situation you created.
I am getting help.
Your therapist called.
You missed 3 sessions.
How did she?
Emergency contact.
She's concerned.
Says you're not doing the work, just wanting validation that Dimitri was wrong to leave.
Wasn't he?
Don't marriages deserve second chances?
They do.
He gave you dozens.
Every time he saw you texting Garrett and said nothing.
Every time you canceled plans for work.
Every time he came home to an empty house because you were at happy hour with colleagues.
Those were all chances. I didn't realize. Because you didn't care to. She stood up. I love you, Sienna. But I don't like who you've become. This selfish, entitled person who thinks marriage is about what you get, not what you give. I gave. What? What did you give? Name one sacrifice you made for Dimitri in the last 2 years. I couldn't. One dream of his you supported. Nothing. One time you put his needs first. Silence. That's what I thought. She headed for the door. Your father and I will pay for rehab if you want it. Therapy if you'll actually do the work. But we're done enabling this pity party. Rehab? I'm not an addict. You're addicted to attention. To validation. To being the victim. That's what destroyed your marriage. And it'll destroy everything else if you don't address it. She left. I sat in my empty house, in the kitchen Dimitri renovated because I wanted open shelving, and finally understood. I wasn't the main character in some story about finding myself. I was the villain in a story about a good man who loved the wrong woman. My phone buzzed. Another notification that Katya Yats had posted a story. I opened it, hating myself. It was Dimitri, asleep on a couch, head in her lap. She was running her fingers through his hair. The caption, jet lag hits different when you're safe. Safe. He never felt safe with me, did he? Always waiting for the next disappointment, the next lie, the next time I'd choose someone else over him. I went to throw my phone, then stopped. Read the caption again. When did I last make anyone feel safe? When did I last feel safe myself? Not since I started needing external validation to feel valuable. Not since I started seeing marriage as a competition instead of a partnership. Not since I decided being wanted by many was better than being loved by one. Tomorrow I'm checking into a treatment center my therapist recommended. Not for substances, but for behavioral addiction. For people who destroyed their lives chasing dopamine hits from destructive patterns. The admission paperwork asks for an emergency contact. I put my mother. Then crossed it out. Put my sister. Cross that out too. Finally wrote, no one. I'm starting over. Because that's what you do when you've burned every bridge. You stop looking back at the ashes and start building new ones. Hopefully, better ones. Ones that don't collapse under the weight of ego and lies. Final update, 3 months later. This will be my last update. I need to stop living in the past and start building a future. But first, I owe you all the ending. Or maybe the beginning, depending on how you look at it. Dimitri got married last week. A small ceremony in Monaco. 20 people. His brother was best man, in remission, walking with a cane but walking. Their father's watch on Dimitri's wrist. I know because his aunt posted photos. The same aunt who used to call me her favorite niece-in-law. Katya wore a simple white dress. No veil, no train, no fanfare. Just them, family, and a few close friends at sunset. They'd known each other 8 years total. Were together for 4 before, apart for 4, and found their way back. In every photo, he's looking at her like she hung the moon. He used to look at me like that. I just never looked back. The treatment center was brutal. 30 days of group therapy, individual sessions, and confronting every ugly truth about myself. My roommate was there for love addiction. She laughed when I told my story. So you had a man who loved you, and you sought attention from someone who didn't even like you? That's not even addiction, honey. That's just stupid. She wasn't wrong. Dr. Chen, my therapist there, not the one I'd been lying to for months, made me write a timeline of my marriage. Every milestone. But here's the twist, I had to write what Dimitri was going through at each point, not me. It was horrifying. Our wedding, he just lost his mentor in a plane crash. First anniversary, investigating a crash that KLD a family of 5. Second anniversary, his brother's diagnosis. Third anniversary, his father's death. Fourth anniversary, offered his dream job in Monaco, turned it down for me. Fifth anniversary, dealing with survivor's guilt from a crash he couldn't prevent. Sixth anniversary, discovering his wife's emotional affair. I'd remembered our anniversaries through my lens, restaurants we went to, gifts I received, trips we took. I'd never noticed he was drowning. Dr. Chen asked me, what did you do for him during these times? I gave him space. That's not doing something. That's doing nothing with a pretty name. She was right. I'd convinced myself leaving him alone with his grief was kindness. Really, it was avoidance. His pain was inconvenient. It didn't fit my Instagram perfect marriage narrative. Got out of treatment and started over. Really started over. New apartment, small, unglamorous, mine. New job, entry level at a different pharma company. They know about my firing. I was honest. They're giving me a chance. No social media. Deleted everything. No dating apps. No male attention. No validation seeking. Just me, figuring out who I am when I'm not performing for an audience. 2 weeks ago, I ran into Garrett at a conference. He was with his girlfriend. Pretty, young, clearly adoring him. He saw me, panicked, steered her away. I felt nothing. No anger, no desire, no vindication. Just pity. For her. She'll learn eventually. Men like Garrett don't stop at flirtation. They need the high of almost affairs, the thrill of could be. She'll be me in 3 years, wondering why her boyfriend needs attention from other women. Unless she's smarter than I was. I hope she is. Yesterday was what would have been our 7th anniversary. I'd planned to stay in bed, wallow, maybe drink too much wine. Instead, I got a package. No return address, but I knew the handwriting. Inside, my wedding ring. The one I'd thrown at him during one of my desperate attempts to get him back. He'd kept it. A note, this belongs to someone who no longer exists. The person you're becoming doesn't need it. Keep going. D. I cried for an hour. Not because I wanted him back, that ship hasn't just sailed, it's circumnavigated the globe and been decommissioned. I cried because he was right. The woman who wore that ring, selfish, insecure, constantly performing, she's dead. Or dying, at least. Some days she tries to resurrect, usually when I see a couple holding hands or catch myself reaching for my phone to check messages that won't come. But she's fading. The woman replacing her is quieter. She reads books instead of scrolling Instagram. She calls her mother to ask about her day, not to complain about her own. She goes to therapy and does the work instead of seeking validation. She's learning to be alone without being lonely. My therapist asked me last week if I forgive myself. No. Why not? Because forgiveness feels like permission. Like saying it was okay. Forgiveness isn't about okaying the action. It's about freeing yourself from its weight. I don't want to be free from it. The weight reminds me not to do it again. And if you meet someone new? Then they'll meet someone who knows the cost of taking love for granted. You think you'll love again? I don't know. But if I do, it'll be different. How? I'll actually see them. Not just what they do for me or how they make me look. But who they are at 3 a.m. with food poisoning. Who they become when their parent dies. What they fear, what they dream, what makes them feel safe. Dimitri taught you that? No. Losing Dimitri taught me that. He tried to teach me while we were married. I just wasn't interested in learning. She smiled. First real smile I'd seen from her. That's growth, Sienna. Maybe. Looking at that wedding ring, I remembered our vows. The standard ones, for better or worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and health. I'd meant them in the moment. But I'd treated them like terms and conditions, scrolled to the bottom and clicked accept without reading the fine print. The fine print was everything. It was holding him after nightmares about crash victims. It was celebrating his wins even when they meant less time with me. It was choosing us over my ego, every single day. I failed every clause. But here's what I've learned, failure isn't final unless you stop there. I'm not stopping. Someday, maybe I'll meet someone new. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll travel, write, volunteer with families who've lost people in accidents. Dimitri once mentioned wanting to do that. Maybe I'll become someone worth loving. Not for my looks or my status or my ability to make someone feel powerful. But for my presence. My loyalty. My ability to see someone else's humanity as clearly as my own. The house sold yesterday. The couple buying it is young, excited, in love. She gushed about the open shelving, the natural light, the perfect Instagram backdrop. I wanted to warn her. Tell her that houses don't make marriages. That open shelving means nothing if you've closed your heart. That natural light can't illuminate what you refuse to see. But I didn't. She'll learn her own lessons, hopefully easier ones than mine. Dimitri and Katya are expecting. His cousin mentioned it at the gym, not knowing I was on the next treadmill. Due in December. A boy. I won't lie, that gutted me. Children we'd talked about but never had because I wasn't ready. Translation: pregnancy would affect my body, my career, my freedom. Now he'll be a father. He'll be incredible at it. Present, patient, protective. Everything he was as a husband. And Katya will be the mother I couldn't have been. Because she'll see the child as their own person, not an accessory or an obligation or a project. They'll be the family I threw away before we could build it. But that's not my story anymore. My story now is simpler, a woman who had everything and lost it all. Who confused attention with affection, options with opportunity, ego with love. Who learned too late that marriage isn't a safety net while you walk other tightropes. It's the tightrope itself. And you walk it together or not at all. To everyone who called me names in the comments, said I deserve this, that I'm a narcissistic BCH who got what was coming, you're right. But also, you're wrong. I did deserve this. Every consequence. Every loss.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.
Every moment of pain. But I'm not just a narcissistic BCH. I'm a human who f-ked up spectacularly and publicly. Who destroyed something beautiful because I was too broken to recognize its worth. I'm someone's daughter learning hard lessons. Someone's sister trying to rebuild trust. Someone's ex-wife who became the cautionary tale. But I'm also someone trying to be better. Not for Dimitri, not for redemption, not for some cosmic karma reversal. Just to prove that people can change. Even selfish, entitled, attention-seeking people who implode their lives for validation from strangers. We can change. It won't fix what we broke. Won't resurrect what we KLD. Won't earn forgiveness from those we hurt. But it might prevent us from breaking the next beautiful thing that comes our way. That has to be worth something. To anyone in a relationship reading this, look up from your phone. See your partner. Really see them. Ask them about their dreams, their fears, their father's birthday. Make them feel safe. Choose them. Daily. Consciously. Especially when someone new makes you feel that flutter, that high, that what if. Because what if is a question. But what is, the person next to you, choosing you despite your flaws, that's the answer. Don't lose the answer chasing questions. Trust me. The questions aren't worth it. They lead nowhere. And nowhere is where you'll end up. Alone. Starting over. If you're lucky. Signing off for the last time. Thank you for reading, for your harsh truths, for your rare sympathies. I needed all of it. For those asking, no, there's no happy ending here. No redemption arc where Dimitri forgives me. No karma where Katya turns out to be evil. No plot twist where Garrett leaves his girlfriend for me. Just reality, actions have consequences. Love requires effort. Marriage is a choice you make repeatedly. Not a prize you win once. Choose wisely. Choose daily. Choose your partner over your ego. Every single time. Thank you so much for watching until the end. If you really like our videos, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Have a great day.